What a powerful and amazing change took place on the day that Peter preached, the day of Pentecost. You may read of that in the spiritual fruit come forth from there had been preaching to men and women, boys and girls, who had the hardest of all hearts, to those who had been so hard as to take God's Son and with wicked hands crucify him. The audience of Peter that day was composed of men of Judea and all that dwelt at Jerusalem. They were the ones who had been brought up in the religion of self-righteousness. Inbred in them was the notion that they had sufficiency in their own works to save themselves. Still more, these were the men and women who had passed by the cross of Jesus Christ itself, and they had reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." They had called Christ a deceiver. They had shouted out for his death. They had said, "He has a devil, why do you hear him?" And Peter had just finished his sermon on the day of Pentecost by putting all of their sin and rebellion right before their face. He had said to them, "Know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." But we read that instead of stopping their ears and in exasperation and hatred crying out for Peter to shut his mouth, rather than that we read, "When they heard, they were pricked in their hearts and said, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What accounted for that? This change from stone, rock, to sponge and softness? The Word of God. The mighty grace of God through the word preached as applied by the Holy Spirit pricked the heart in repentance. That produced the change. God's grace, worked through the word preached and pressed to the heart by the Holy Spirit, as God had said in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" The change was not brought about by a clever psychological ploy. It was not brought about by a persuasive appeal, not simply by skillful crowd manipulation, but the change was brought about by the word proclaimed through faithful lips and brought by the irresistible grace of the Holy Spirit. Is this the effect God's word preached has upon you? Is this the effect in your heart, that you are pricked? Not that you respond to God's word in the knowledge of Jesus Christ with indifference, not that you greet Christ today with polite neutrality, not that you hear the word of God with cold complacency, but you are pricked in the heart. An arrow shoots into your heart over remorse, over sin. And by faith, a look to Christ as the Savior from sin. Apostle Peter is, the Word of God, which is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, never leaves us the same. The Word of God always accomplishes something, and in every one. It is absolutely impossible that no effect is produced. It shall always, God says, Isaiah 55, whom the Father gave to him out of I send it. In the church world who want to approach the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, "Well, let's look it over." And so the church, they say, in marketing, we should be concerned about our image and the image of the gospel because we want to make it appealing to man. And more the gospel and the word of God, therefore, is put on trial. And the question that is asked is, well, what will it do for me? Why should I want to buy into it? Confession of him. He's not referred. I will inspect it. I will look it over. And if I happen to be appealed to it, and if you put on a good presentation about it, I might pass a judgment of giving it a place in my life. All of that is wrong. Never. It is not man who takes up God's word in his hand but it is the word of God which takes man up in its hands and searches you out, because it's God's word, and God's word, no sin, and the throwing away of relying upon all of my... Well, show us some mighty proof of God's power. You talk so much about God, let's see some evidence of the God you talk about, some dramatic evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so, in the church world, there is much emphasis on dramatic evidences, tongues, speaking in tongues, miracles, healings, holy twitchings, and holy laughter, something that 2020 would like to do a feature on and come with their reporters and say, well, what's it all about? No, that too is all. The apostle goes on in verse 3 to say that the time is the power of God's grace through his word to prick the heart and repent this present world. There are many who will throw off the outward is not shaking a room or removing a mountain and casting it into a sea. Oh yes, he can do that. He can, through thunder and lightning and by mighty power, tear a mountain out of its roots and cast it into the midst of the sea. But that's not his greatest power. His greatest power is compared to a pinprick. Yes. When he touches the heart, which is hard, and he makes it soft with tears of repentance and abominable Christ. That's the mighty power of God. They're about faith. He's talking there about the true spiritual union of a sinner by the grace of God into the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are truly united to me bring forth much fruit. What is that fruit that he's talking about? If you had studied the Bible for yourself a little bit on this subject of fruit, but that's exactly the problem. Many think that they understand the term heart, but very few do. What does the term heart mean in the Holy Bible? Well, the word that which is refers to our spiritual center. The word heart refers to the spiritual life that we have before God. It is very fruitful, because he delights in the law of God. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, and that heart can assume toward God only one of two positions, either one of rebellion and hatred, which is the position of all men by nature. All men by nature are hardened in heart, or by the grace of God that heart is transformed. The life of Christ is placed into it, so that now we stand before God soft, believing, and contrite. It's the center, then, of our spiritual life. My life as it is lived from my heart as I stand before God. That's the heart. It's the source of all of our life. So that it's not simply feelings. It's much more than that. It is my life as I live before God. These men and women, then, were pricked in the heart, pierced into their deepest core of their being, smitten, crushed, their own unbelief exposed to them, their own rebellion and sin to those who belong to the world. Apart from the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, and the sufficiency of sin by the grace of God alone, the fruit of that will be, first of all, a heartfelt repentance. Always brings a response in the heart. Stephen, too, had preached, and he's going to preach in Acts chapter 7. Then, after his preaching, we will read that when they heard the things that Stephen preached, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, basically preaches the same message that the Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter preached in Acts chapter 10. Isaiah, the prophet, said, I am a man of unclean lips and dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. The apostle said they could not simply shrug it off, it got to them, and they hated it. And they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him, and they did everything to stop him from saying another word. Are you that way? Do you tolerate the Word of God just so long as it does not dig too deep and tell you that all is not okay with you? A hard heart also hears the Word of God and rejects it. That heart, the Word actually makes them soft, makes them harder. That's always the case. But then there is the saving work of the Holy Spirit. That saving work of the Holy Spirit is known in this, that when the Word comes to such a heart, it brings a conviction of sin. The same Word of God is preached, not a different Word of God, the same Word of God. What accounts for the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which was taught the youth of the heart, and prepares that heart, and softens that heart, and brings that heart to a godly sorrow. God accomplishes this, both the hardening of the heart and the softening of the heart, by the Word, by the preaching of the Word. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, preached with boldness. In fact, all of the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts was always characterized by boldness. Peter was unwilling to compromise any of God's truth. Peter did not seek first to tailor that man's lust does message to be acceptable to the ears of the men and women that he preached to. Fullness is the desire to light from God, and he delivered the Word exactly as God made it known to him. When he preached in boldness, that does not mean that he preached rudely or crudely. There was nothing crude or rude in Peter's sermon. It was straightforward, clear, explicit, hard-hitting, and faithful. Most Christians today, Galatians 5, verse 22 and following, is very instructive on the idea of fruitfulness. Paul lists there 9 fruit of the stank. He was unencumbered with fear. As Peter preached, it was not current in his mind, what will they think of me if I say this, but rather, what will God think of me if I don't teach and tell his truth? And so he preached, serve the constant crucified against the background of man's sin and rebellion before God. This same concern of men is a little while before, when Jesus was crucified, was afraid that a damsel was going to identify him as a disciple, afraid of a little girl, now, given the Holy Spirit of Christ in his heart, has no fear of men before him. He is preaching in the Spirit of God. That's not a rambling on and on, but it was a careful understanding of the Scripture, a conviction that it is God's Word and the speaking of that Scripture of the truth in love. 3,000 people in his audience were stung in their heart through the Word preached unto them. In his preaching, Peter did not hesitate to contradict the expressed ideas of men. Some of them, in the crowd, you might remember, had said that the disciples, the apostles, were drunk. When Peter got up to preach, the first words out of his mouth were to contradict that. He says, "These are not drunken, as you suppose." As a branch into the vine, Jesus Christ is, that you will grow in a love and knowledge of God. You will delight yourself in God. Is that seen in you? Now, if the husbandman, the Lord, if the husbandman, the living God, would come into his vineyard today, come into your life, what would he find? Would he find dead wood, leaves, or fruit? Would he find branches laden over, bowed down with rich fruit of repentance, trust, holiness, love, joy, peace, and a delight in God? The Lord says, "In every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." God purges it. That word purge is prunes it. The Lord is saying, itching of the Word of God to prick the heart. God does that through one who brings the Word faithfully. A preacher who will feed God's people with the living and nourishing Word of God, faithful preaching. Now we know that the Apostle Peter on that day had direct revelation from God. That is no longer the case today. Today we have the Word of God. The Word of God is the perfect word to the sinful word that is breathed or given of God, so that the Bible is word for word. Sucker branches that come up. You have to open up the tree. You have to cut off all the crossing limbs. You lop off the top of the tree. And the result is word piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Mere grace has suffered for your sin. And therefore, when you show by your abstinence of doing those things, the Scripture reaches down into the soul. All that is necessary is for the church to faithfully preach the Word of God. The way to the heart of man is to preach the Word of God. We read in Psalm 68, verse 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it." How tragic it is for men to mount pulpits in the church and to prattle about the ideas of men, or to consult the latest fads, or to take their sermon from some secular event, or to apply mass marketing techniques to the church. How sinful! Food has been provided by God. The means are given by God. The mighty power of God is in His Holy Scripture. That is the calling of the church. The calling of the church is to preach the Word of God, and your calling as a believer is to hear that Word of God and to attend a church where the Word of God is preached to you in truth. The organization of the worship service of your church is not something that's incidental, but the organization of your worship service must be around the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God in all of its truth, in clarity, and in truth, aimed at reaching the heart. This pricks the heart. This hardens so that some go away, hardened in their sin. But this is also the way of peace and pardon in Jesus Christ. They said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They must admit what Peter has said as being the truth. They acknowledge that they have sinned. Understand their words when they say to Peter, "What shall we do?" They're not thinking there of doing something themselves to remove the burden of their guilt, but they're saying, "We are at an utter loss as to what we are to do in this terrible situation." Their question means we are completely confess our guilt and our helplessness before God. We submit to the word. They're not that serious. Has produced the consciousness of our sin, but that word now must also show us the way of the deliverance from our guilt and sin. And so Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's the way, faith and repentance. This too is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who pricks, and it's the Holy Spirit who works faith and repentance, an irresistible work. It's all of grace that God performs through His Word. I warn you, instrument, the preaching of the Word of God is what you must hear. As a member of the church, whatever church that may be, you must hold fast to this in a day when the preaching of the Word of God is substituted for all kinds of things which claim to be able to do the work of God. You must see to it that your church faithfully... God is the husbandman who is always bringing more and more from His vineyard. He is not a husbandman who says, as a man would, "Church, you must attend the church where the Word of God is proclaimed in its purity. And under that preaching, you enter into God's will is sin. There God shall give you to know your heart. There God shall expose sin for sure, but He shall also comfort. He shall inform. But He shall bind them up in the balm and healing ointments of Jesus Christ. There God will bring to you the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. You need to be there. And you must pray that that Word of God does its work in your heart. Does the Word of God convict you? Does it slay you? Does it prick? Does it bring to you a knowledge of sin? Does it comfort you? The glorious gospel of Christ, crucified and risen, does it leave you with no place to turn? Nothing that you can do except the cross and Christ, producing a change of heart in you, so that you are broken up in holy sorrow and brought to the amazing joy of Christ, given for me all of the grace of God. May that word be spoken to you in boldness and in truth. May you seek out that truth, and may that word continue to accomplish God's purpose in you, to prick your heart so that it bleed of almighty grace, who's filled with the glorious Christ of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. May the church not sell the truth. May the church not express unbelief in thy word by looking to other things to accomplish thy purpose. But may thy church be faithful to preach the word in boldness and in truth. Continue to gather unto thyself, to Jesus Christ, through thy word, thy church. Defend and protect her by the truth of thy word. Give to us a love for the sound preaching of thy word. Amen. Amen. Suffered for us. To be a Christian means that you know that this is not approved of God. In every form, sexual uncleanness is something that is accursed of God. No longer shall we live in it. The Church of God does not need a study committee to make pronouncements about homosexuality. The Church of God does not need a study committee to make pronouncements about divorce and remarriage, about what the church should say to the youth about sex. The Word of God is clear. Jesus Christ has suffered for us, for our sins. Now we must spend our days serving Him. Let's return to this passage next week, the Lord willing. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou would bless it now unto our souls. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.